If you haven't had a chance, check out the Jazz Pod Co-op on Twitter. It's a group of podcasts with like-minded people that just want to share their opinions on the Jazz. Here's a preview. Mark and Doug Hintze on the twos and threes.
The weird things about dude shots is like my favorite like NBA subcategory of
That definitely gets Mark going for sure.
And like, or they're like the length of their arms affecting something. I'm like, whether they jump off of 1 foot or 2 foot.
Right.
Like,
Emily and McCoy on the Jazza Gals.
If anything, that video also reminded me like how just a few inches difference it was between us being on one side versus the other. You know, like, well, we all know a few inches can make a difference.
Who, Logan and Jared on hitting the high notes?
I don't even care if they're hurt.
I mean,
or they're,
we're
or
not
going to
dance on any injuries, but yes.
I can't make any promises. But I don't even care if it's a fluke or we cheat. I don't even care.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying, right?
That's what they say.
And Brian and McCade on Home Court Press.
With Boyan, Memphis is really struggling to shoot. So giving Boyan to the Grizzlies and then having the Grizzlies forward our first-round pick onto another team. If you can get Boyan a first-round pick and then get Memphis to throw in a first-round pick in DA and take Boyan, a lot of possibilities open for a guy like John Collins.
What's up, folks? It's another edition. It's the technical difficulties edition of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. It is I am here, your host. You can find me on the Twitterverse and the IG at HootTransSuperman. That's HUUTRAN TRAN Superman on the IG and Twitter. And we are recording late night. It's taken us a while to get here because, you know, sometimes technology does not want to cooperate, and we finally got here. We're here. We're recording tonight, and I'm here with them. Go the distance 49. Already off the hot start with my technical difficulties in speaking. Even what's up, Jared?
Not much, man. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, just things are going. I'm frustrated because we're having a hard time getting the recording done, and now I have to do a lot more editing, and it might not sound great. So, you know, I'm a little perturbed, but we're ready to talk Jazz Talk. But we're bringing on the Squatches of Dragons, Dragon Squatch from Twitter. What's up, Logan?
Just looking to see if anyone wants to come clean out my litter box.
And that's crazy because you don't even have a cat. So
I know.
Kitty cat. All right. So, first of all, this is Hitting the High Notes. We go on social media, we find hot takes or just takes and talk about them. And guys, first of all, the first take I have is Jared ruined our happy little family. Maybe that's what the technical difficulties are all about. You know, he went and changed all our text messages from blue to green. And Jared, what do you have to say for yourself?
Android's cheaper and
yourself, scoundrel.
Yeah.
It's cheaper. Oh man, it's all about the money. It's always about the money, Jared.
Yeah, there are way more options, man.
Sure, but your text messages are green, and then every time I say green text message, there's like a fire in my heart, and it's like
good
flames on the side of my face, like burning, heaving flames. So, speaking of burning, heaving flames, you know.
you gonna talk about prom night or what? What's that?
Oh boy,
different podcast.
Prom night. Oh, prom night. That is a different podcast. Catch us on Just a Tiff with Logan's ex-wife Tiffany Drake. So,
hey, you did hit the start recording button, right? Because I went and checked the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. So, where we last time we talked, it was pre-free agency, so that was a while back, and free agency feels like it's almost over now. Basically, it basically is over for Utah Jazz. You know, everybody's loving the Jazz offseason. Logan, how do you feel about the Jazz offseason? I mean, we got the guy that we talked about that you liked.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about Rudy Gay.
Or Rudy Gay, another RG on the team.
What was just bizarre was I hadn't even thought about Rudy Gay until that night, and I was obsessed with him. And then, you know, 2 days later, they were a little late to the party with the Rudy Gay. So, I mean, should be late to the party, but it was like the day after, right? So I think it's all the good moves. I think they're good moves. And then there was Whiteside a couple days later, which is kind of a polarizing individual. But at the end of the day, I think it's, I view nothing but positive about adding at least veteran pieces to fill out the back end of that roster. So Conley was a done, and that was pretty fantastic. I think the Conley contract is really, as you compare it to everything else around, is almost, I mean, feels like a steal of a deal compared to what other people signed for. So that was, not that seriously, I care, it's not my money, but really when you start comparing to other people and what they got, it's kind of startling. And then we found out this week that it's not, there's a ton of it's incentive based, and like the last year is an option or something, or maybe I'm getting it wrong, but there's some pretty gnarly partially incentives guaranteed tied into it. Yeah. So I don't know if there, what that kind of spurred the interesting conversation that the Jazz a free agency destination. So I've got my opinion on it, but I'll let you guys go first as to what you think that means.
Yeah, Jarrod, best offseason ever for the Jazz?
I'm hesitant to say yes, because last time we said that, it went horribly, horribly wrong. So,
I mean, the free agents that the Jazz got, I mean, they still got Bojan that offseason. They got Mike Conley. Those guys are still here, so.
It was a cool offseason. That's all I got
to
say.
The greatest offseason in Jazz history for me is still the Memo Boozer offseason. It's hard to top that.
Yeah, even though Boozer didn't play that first year, so, but it still worked out pretty well for the Jazz that offseason. So, they took
the money, man.
Yeah, I feel like those were like them, but they swung for the fences twice and hit two home runs. So, you know, pretty good deals there.
Kind of like that walk off in the Field of Dreams game.
Yes, yeah, they built it and they came, and we all came.
I was screaming when they shot the fireworks off. I'm like, they're gonna burn it down. They're gonna start a fire. DJ, without skipping a beat, said popcorn.
Like, popcorn. Right. Yes.
You can't burn it down. It just makes it more. Yeah. Just makes it a more delicious treat.
Iowa doesn't care about them. Wildfires. So just don't blow that air into Utah. Let's start with the top one. Was probably, we said Mike Conley was the most important piece. The Jazz went and got Mike Conley back, as Logan said, on a pretty friendly contract, partially guaranteed third year, a couple of incentives. Right in that, you know, what I said was, I think people were upset about the $75 million number. People were very happy with the $60 million number. 69 seems to be in the sweet spot for everybody. So, unironically.
It tends to be.
Yeah. As it tends to be. You know, Mike Conley coming back and then releasing the first time I saw the Mike Conley video, like return video, I didn't hear the sound. And so I didn't know that was edited. I was like, oh shit, they edited it. I was like, all right, well, I guess you can't have the, you know, I'm not fucking leaving part, but I like that part. You know, you I'm could. Not fucking leaving. You could.
Yeah, they changed it to Utah. I'm not leaving Utah.
I'm not leaving Utah.
That's probably the Mike Conley we actually need, though, to get us over the top, is we need the fuck you Mike Conley that exists somewhere deep down inside of him.
The Mike Conley, I guess, is coming out this year. Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Apparently he doesn't like saying that word. I don't
know, like the high notes going with the four letters. Mike Conley, we need four letter Mike Conley.
Four letter
Mike.
We need the nasty Mike.
I mean, there are some people out there who don't think I'm the Mike Conley. It was just one of those things that I didn't delve into it. I did see some people were like, well, still think it's a little overpaid, but I'm like, that's the thing, that like, if you don't get Mike Conley back, you're not getting anybody else. So I didn't.
But how can they consider it now? Here's the thing: if he torpedoes and he completely is terrible, then that is. But compared to what everyone else signed for in the same class, right, how can it be a bad signing?
Yeah, like Chris Paul's contract.
I don't understand how he's overpaid. Like, it seems like a strange thing to say.
Like Chris Paul's contract was a little crazy when you first heard it. It was like 4 years, $120 million. When you boil it down to like all the guaranteed money, it's only $75 million for Chris Paul. But that was a lot. You know, to pay 30 whatever year old, you know, 2 years older than Mike Conley, Chris Paul for 4 years. But I think Chris Paul's contract came out to be pretty good too. Kyle Lowry is the one I think is like, wow, you know, like Kyle Lowry for that much money.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know,
he's like got 3 years on him too, right? He's in the Chris Paul 36 range, right?
Yeah. So
DeMar DeRozan got an interesting deal. DeMar DeRozan was kind of interesting too, right? I mean, it was
the Bulls, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the, I, I don't know, the, like, I, we don't
even play the pick swap or something. That's like a weird sort of deal. I was like, huh?
The Bulls, them, I was like, the Bulls are just like, cool. Your team is Zach LaVine, Alex Caruso, DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic. I'm like, you guys have a lot of guys that are like in that like top 40 to 50 range. Like Levine's, you know, Levine's your, I always say Levine, Levine's your best player, but like, oh boy, I don't like, I don't even know. I think you got like pieces to compliment him. So
I don't understand the Alex Caruso signing. That seemed like a weird one. I was like, huh?
Well, people love Caruso.
I thought DeRozan was going to the Lakers on a minimum. That was a real shocker when he got like $85 million.
Yeah, like, apparently he wanted more money than $2 million. That is, and Rudy Gay was supposed to go there on the minimum to the Lakers.
Yeah, everybody goes to the Lakers on a minimum, apparently. Everyone.
Well, I mean, to be fair, they did get like six guys on the minimum. That I was like, oh, those are all very good contracts to get on a minimum.
Yeah, but so. I would say none of those guys that they got, I would say none of those guys are in the Rudy Gay / DeMar DeRozan tier.
Well, I don't think it's
DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan,
I think
it's probably higher tier than Rudy Gay for sure.
I think, I also don't know if I want to pay DeRozan. Like, DeRozan's weird. Like, DeRozan's a guy I would pay, like, $5 million for to be, like, a bench scorer. You know? Like, you got
I'd give him 10. Yeah, I'd give him 10. Yeah.
Oh, like, so I guess, like,
I'd give him 7.5.
Let's split the difference.
Right. So,
hey, that's what PJ Tucker got, $7.5 million a year. That's insane.
So this is where I differ, I guess, on you guys, because, like, I think Rudy Gay is a minimum player. I understand why the Jazz have to give him taxpayers mid-level, but I mean, I'm not super excited about, 35-year-old Rudy Gay coming to the Jazz on a taxpayers mid-level. Like, I think it's the best.
Watched Rudy Gay last year? He looked pretty good last year.
Yeah, cool. I mean, he's, again, 35-year-old. I mean, I don't know what to expect from Rudy Gay, in the next 3 years. I don't know if he puts the Jazz over the top. I don't know, like, if he, I think he does help in certain areas, but if the Jazz aren't going to play him when it counts, then I don't think it matters that much. I mean, if he's here to replace George Nying minutes, cool, he'll do it, and that's fine, but I don't think it's, I don't think it's going to be game-changing, because if, you blow a 25-point lead, Rudy Gay, if you don't put him in, doesn't matter,
That's something we're sorely lacking. Yeah, that's true. Always in.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe last year Quinn, last year didn't have the pieces. Maybe he didn't think Mione or Joe Brown, but he just ran those same 7-8 guys out there to get that low blown off. To lose a 25-point lead in less than 18 minutes, it's really bad defensively. And unless you're gonna play Rudy Gay and Royce O'Neal in crunch time, I don't think it matters. And I don't know who Quinn's going to pull off the floor for that. So we'll see. We'll see if that changes. And he might change it, but he also might not. So if Rudy Gay is here to play George Nying minutes plus like 5 or 6 more, cool. It's good. I don't think it's some championship contending. So
aren't you also the guy that said as soon as they fired Dennis Lindsay, goodbye championship?
What was that?
You said, it was announced that Dennis Lindsay wasn't coming back, you said goodbye championship. So this should already expect this goodbye championship.
Yeah. Did I say that? Oh, I don't know if I did or not.
You said it via text.
Did I?
I don't see Rudy Gay as like a swing piece that like changes the entire trajectory of the Jazz. I don't see him as like a massive, like just a huge difference maker. But I think it's a better move on the back end. I think that it's, everyone likes the in vogue term is to say make changes on the margins. And I definitely feel a lot better about Rudy Gay than I do George Nying, Trent Forrest, Vaone, insert any other two way, star that we have there. I feel better about him on the end. But again, if Quinn doesn't utilize him, it doesn't even matter. But it does. I mean, most of these championship teams do have that depth at the back. We saw it ad nauseum with the Clippers. We saw it with Milwaukee. I mean, Bobby Portis, I had series where I don't think he even played, right, or played sparingly. Jeff Teague even got a little bit of run throughout that playoff series. I mean, those are the guys you want when you're trying to, not always necessarily you know, resecure the one seed, but, you know, guys that can do some things perhaps, you know, in the playoffs is the way I view it. So I don't.
Yeah. And I'll argue against myself here is that, you know, Quinn maybe last year didn't feel comfortable putting Mie, Jarrell, Doak, Ersan, Matt Thomas, any of those guys in, right? Like, none of those guys were good enough to replace Ingles or Bogey in those situations. But, you know, again, you know, the Jazz are running out their lineups with Clarkson and Mitchell and Bogey. And I was like, well, you know, there's no wonder that the Jazz couldn't defend anything because those guys can't defend the perimeter. So
if Rudy Gay played some Joe minutes and when Joe was looking rough, I think that would help.
Right. But so let's say that Mike Conley was, you know, healthy in that, or like, was in that. Again, it comes down to, this is the same argument I was making. Like, we go down to the bottom five, you know, we're going to have crunch time minutes and you're trying to hold on to a lead, or, you know, you're trying to hold on to the lead or not have Jamal Murray score 50 on you. You know, the Jazz are running out there. You know, you don't take Rudy off the floor. You don't take Mike or Donovan off the floor. You know, and so if Quinn Snyder just puts Rudy Gay instead of Royce O'Neal, I don't think that helps, right? You know, if he decides to sit Bogey, which he did a couple times last year, but it wasn't consistent enough. Like, there were times when the Jazz needed way more defense. And again, maybe he didn't think Yang or Oni or anybody else could fill that role. And if that's the case, cool. Then if we see more Rudy Royce lineups, that will probably be better. I don't know if that would help against like Jamal Murray going for 50, but you know, it does help a little bit on the perimeter defense. Like the Clippers stuff, you know, is probably mitigated enough that they don't come back from 25 points down if you have Rudy Gay and Royce out there. But we'll see. This comes down to, you know, do I trust Quinn Snyder anymore to do that? We'll see. He's lost my trust there. Hey, so.
Hey, we haven't even talked about Donovan's best friend.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to. Yeah, exactly. that's how I feel about it. So next up, I'm.
Hey, man. Yeah,
I don't know anything. I mean, it's got my interest. It's certainly, I don't know anything about him at all, but it seems
the
to.
The poor guy was playing with a bunch of garbage. Like, he was out there with yeah. Wanamaker. And look at the lineups, the most used lineups he was with, and it was ugly. He was like one of the best players in the lineup.
Cool. Where was Eric Pascal picked? Like, what, 40s, 50s? Cool.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. All right. Yeah, I think
if he makes Donovan happy, it's fine.
I think that's kind of maybe that the move they made. And if that's what Pascal's there for, great. I don't think he cracks the top. Do you think he plays over Mione?
It's hard to say because I don't think he's a guard. He's more of a forward.
Okay. I mean, but again, Mione is number 10 on the depth chart right now, right? So
he might leapfrog him. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, but then again, like if Jamal Murray. Oh, I got it. If Jamal Murray's going 50 on him, and who's guarding Jamal Murray?
Who is guarding Jamal Murray at all? He's hurt. He's out. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Girlfriend's holding him down. Girlfriend's got him jump on him right now.
So whoever the next guard.
Why is your hypothetical have to be somebody who's out for the year? Give me some.
It's every fucking guard. I get the Jazz. Every fucking guard. Oh. Go 50 against the Jazz. Okay. Like how many point guards do you have to see go against the Jazz that we've talked about for 2 years now?
Oh, Austin Rivers, yeah.
Holy shit, dude. So whoever fucking guard comes up next, Trae Young is over 50. Who's guarding him?
Yeah, it's not good.
Mike Connolly. That's most likely.
Yeah, that's a larger question about the overall philosophy, which I think is where my whole mind shifts back to. Again, I guess it'll probably be the theme of this season is all eyes on Quinn. I mean,
right? Like,
he won the Dennis Lindsay Civil War, and now we get. We joke about my Rudy rant, and this is where we're really going to find it out. I mean, he's got better pieces on the back end. It looks like in the last. I mean, the free agency destination thing is funny because really the Jazz for the last, even going back to Gordon Hayward era, have been attracting not top tier free agents. That's not what it is. We're not luring in the top guys, but we are getting the veteran guys that have an interest. They're going back to the Joe Johnson, the Jeff Greens, the Ed Davises. So we've been pulling these guys in consistently for the last handful of years. So this isn't really new, but we're about 50-50 on whether they fit quote unquote Quinn's system or not. And, you know, Coach Bud, was very similar in that he's very rigid in his ways, and he's from the Coach Bud tree, right, to some degree. So we'll see if he's willing to evolve and try some different things, because, you know, we're all told that Rudy is the greatest thing since Jesus Christ himself. So we're going to find out if a guy who can't do anything offensively can be your best player on a championship team. So
I want to know, I want to see what happens around the trade deadline, and I'm tricking myself into it, the buyout market again. Because I know it's gonna happen. I'm like, all right, you know, there's a chance the Jazz get something in the buyout market, but come on, like, I mean, last year the Jazz struck out just horribly in that, so I don't know why I'm trying to trick myself anyway.
The hard part is knowing if they even tried or if they were shut down. I mean, I don't know. Jazz fans, we like to default back to, well, no one wants to come to Utah, but I think for those fringe guys, that's not necessarily the case. I don't know if there was an effort put into it. It's hard to know.
So
it is hard to know
if we get somebody in the buyout market this year. That's another strike against Dennis Lindsay, then, huh?
Exactly. Hey, that's what I would say. Absolutely.
One more scoop of dirt on Dennis Lindsay.
Bury him one foot deeper.
In all fairness, I actually thought what Dennis Lindsay did with the Jazz, you know, rebuilding them to where they are, setting this, I thought it was very good. But
yeah,
you know,
he set the table, but maybe he needs somebody else to finish.
He's that bad. Is he Javier Baez? Like him? He strikes out a lot, but when he gets a hit, man, he hits out of the park. Is that fair?
Yeah, it seems fair.
Yeah,
He's a baseball guy, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, Javier Baez. Anyway, so let's go to Hassan Whiteside now. Hassan Whiteside. Back up. You know, taking the favors minutes.
Honestly, I don't know how to feel about it. He is kind of polarizing, like a lot of people have said. I know some people that have a lot of negative thoughts about it. I feel like, you know, whatever. He's soaking up those regular season minutes. I have no idea if he's even going to play in the playoffs.
Go through your timeline, go through your Twitter, like, go find everything negative you said about Hassan Whiteside.
I've said a ton of negative things about Hassan Whiteside. I could probably read for like a good 20 minutes negative things.
Yeah, so
does it shift though about Whiteside when you have to look at it in context though, when it's a minimum contract and maybe playing 15 minutes a night?
He's backing up the better center, so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But when people are making, you know, absurd Whiteside, you know, defensive player of the year things years ago, but he himself included, it's just his role is completely different now. And so I don't see what the downside is. This is right up whose alley with take a flyer on a veteran guy who's shown some upside at on minimum. I mean, this is like the definition of it, right? So,
yeah, I mean, that's how I should probably feel about it. But I'm also like, you know, and maybe I'm more mad about Jazz fans who are, like, turning about face right now and be like, oh, you know what, you know, Whiteside, like, I'm like, I have seen almost from every fucking one of you on Twitter write something negative about Hassan Whiteside. And now because he's wearing a different, like, set of laundry, you guys are like, well, you know, maybe. Like, and so I think that's where my anger comes from, is that, like, I'm like, no. You go dig up all your, like, even, like, I was Mueller, Mark Mueller, he tweeted out something on the first, when Whiteside was signed. And he said something like, oh, I'm glad my old account got nuked because there'd be a lot of Whiteside stuff I would have to scrub. Like, no, don't scrub your time. I want you to own anything you said about
it. I haven't scrubbed it. Hey, I'm gonna start retweeting a lot of the negative Whiteside stuff.
And
just because you told me to.
Where does the Whiteside hate come from? I don't. I wasn't paying attention
because basically he was in competition with Rudy for Defensive Player of the Year. So we as a tribe decided, oh, well, if you want to, you know, you're a piece of trash, you know, and it, like they just made up all these things about Whiteside, and now he's on the Jazz. I'm like, oh, well, you know, maybe he'll block some shots and get some rebounds.
I'm not sure stuff got made up, because there's a lot of people from Heat Twitter that are like, oh, sorry that you guys have Whiteside now. Sucks to suck.
We did get attacked by Andreas in our Twitter account and KW Jazz Man. What's up, Keegs? I wonder if Keegs even listens anymore now that we're explicit. Probably not. But yeah, so I mean, Whiteside again, he's the minimum.
I don't think Keegs cares that much. Let's ask him on Twitter. Say, hey, do you still listen to the show? Now that we swear
so,
to you.
So, not, Whiteside, Again, if he fails, then you throw Doak in there and then you hope for the best, right? Like, it's not like Derek Favors was like setting the world on fire for the Jazz last year and then his backup five role. Could he be? Could I think Whiteside could be worse because Favors at least had some like have pick and roll chemistry with the guys there. Yeah. And he was fine. I guess he was better than Tony Bradley, which I'm not quite sure is a compliment or not. Was he $8 million better than Tony Bradley?
Probably not. So.
But,
yeah.
But is Whiteside, you know, five times less than Derek Favors? Probably not, you know.
Hey, speaking of Tony Bradley to the Bulls.
Tony Jones' dream lives. So if Tony Bradley plays as well as Derek Favors next year, probably a win because he's only costing the Jazz $1 million, right? So it's a roster spot. If you have time, we'll probably talk about Doak here in summer league or whatever. But, you know, again, Whiteside, I don't know if he's a good pick and roll defender. I think that was one of the big things I heard was like, oh, he's off on the pick and roll. I mean, was it 2 years ago when he was on Portland and Dame was saying that Hassan Whiteside was the defensive player of the year and they asked Rudy about it. Rudy was like, oh, well, maybe they should put him at the end of the games. Yeah, Rudy was dunking on him too because Whiteside wasn't finishing games for the Blazers. So I don't know. I know he blocks shots and maybe he's going to be the Ed Davis that is better, you know? Like, we thought Ed Davis was a perfect backup man. I'm getting a lot of Ed Davis vibes through this whole thing. Like, oh, boy, you know, what if you get Rudy Gay who's just fallen off a cliff already or Quinn doesn't know how to use him or whatever or Quinn breaks him or whatever. But Whiteside, you know, get some rebounds, get some blocks.
But you guys are saying that, again, not Whiteside at one point was a legitimate, you know, conversation piece in a defensive player of the year conversation, correct?
Yes.
Sort of. I don't believe
right. It's been a few been years.
I don't believe that's ever been Derek Favors or it's ever been, especially Ed Davis. So,
that's not
me guaranteeing he's going to be great. He could be terrible, but I'm just saying, like, for a minimum, that's the lowest amount of money you can give somebody. And it's a lot better than, I'd rather give that a role than, you know, someone that we know nothing about. So,
and also, I will say this, like, I mean, so he blocks shots and whatever. If, as long as Quinn sees Whiteside's strength, this is what I want Quinn to kind of morph into is like, hey, I have Hassan Whiteside. You know who he's not? He's not fucking Rudy Gobert. So what should you do? Not treat him like fucking Rudy Gobert, which is what he did with Davis and Bradley and Favors. And
Derek Favors, yep.
Right. And when Whiteside's in there, like, play to Whiteside's strength or do something else. You can't just play that same drop big because it only works with Rudy in there. So
is that a strong case. Philosophy of the team, though?
That's become the Quinn Hater podcast, guys. It's official Quinn Hater
podcast. You're right. Like, it is like the philosophy of like, the defense. And again, Quinn is more of a, instead of having backup plans B, C, D, and E, you know, plan A is just going to work so well because we run it so many times and we're so smooth at it that we just do it better than everybody else.
You just want a little wildcat every once in a while.
Well, that's like Jerry Sloan's MO, isn't it? So it's like, Shouldn't we expect this from the franchise? Oof.
Cool. I mean, how many championships did Jerry Sloan win?
I know. That's a good point. I'm just saying. It's like, kind of like
he won some with the Bulls, I think, no? The Bulls were terrible, I'm sure.
I'm not ready
to slander Quinn yet. I'm saying that his excuse, the excuses and the it's all up to him, and I'm hoping he chooses to get
this
better.
This is a proving. Right.
Yeah. Like, but I'm saying it's going to be hard for him to unless something unforeseen happens, injury wise, it's all on him. Because I would say even some sort of potential locker room meltdown is also, he's culpable to some degree as well too. But if that's going down a bunch of different rabbit holes, but I really it's all on him. It's all on him. I hope that he and I don't think he's a bad coach. So I'm not ready to slander him.
Pascal's going to say Donovan promised him a role, and he's going to be pissed.
And we were a couple months removed from.
He said that.
We're a couple months removed from a lot of people saying that Ty Lue is a better coach than Quinn Snyder. So, I mean, that was not very long, very much time ago. So,
I honestly think that that's probably the case. Still.
Yeah, I mean, no, sure. I mean, again, that's another.
I think there's a lot of coaches that are good enough to win NBA titles, and there's some that just are terrible. I'm subscribing more and more to Who's theory. I didn't quite get it the first 17 times he laid it out for us on the pod, but it finally clicked one day. It's like there's like this top half, like 15, that are probably good enough to win you a title. And sometimes it's right place at the right time. I don't know that there's that many. They're really that great revolutionary minds that are so phenomenal they'll succeed anywhere. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of really good ones that can get it done. But I mean, if you give someone like Spoelstra, like the Kings, is he going to get the playoffs with the Kings? I don't think so. I mean, we saw how good Luke Walton looked when he was coaching the Warriors. Warriors. So.
No, they were coaching themselves.
So
NBA is weird like that.
Yeah, and so Logan, number one, not only pointed out how repetitive I am on this podcast, but was able to repeat my point and make it much more concise and understandable. So thank you, Logan. I mean, that's why you're here, Logan, like to do that, because I was like, yeah, you're right. That sounds much better coming out of your mouth than my mouth.
I'm just here to take everyone's ideas and repackage them and convince them it's something new, and it's really just the same old bag of shit.
If it's a better sounding bag of shit, do it all the time. That's true.
I do use nicer wrapping. I like to prepare kids. Not just a typical brown. I like to go with a little white, a little bow on there.
I am so heated about this offseason right now. So
you're pretty fired up over it. This is right in your wheelhouse, though. So
I know, like, I like it. People like it. Like, and again, Eric Pascal, like, that's really cool. The Jazz gave a second rounder to get another second rounder. Do I see a path for him to like be like, if Hassan Whiteside just fails so miserably? All right, cool. Whiteside or Pascal, you're the new backup five. That's how I see his path, and that's cool. And I do enjoy that. Maybe these are pieces that if something goes fucking wrong again in the playoffs, that all right, you know, let's not throw Whiteside in the back in minutes. Let's get Pascal in there. I know he didn't play all year, but you know, this is something different. Right?
This is our new break in case of emergency game. Hey,
Pascal's got legit NBA. I mean, he's got legit NBA minutes though, right? And that's the thing that.
Yeah, like he made the all rookie team because like he played in that really awful Warriors team that was tanking, and so he's got some minutes. He's got, you know, there's game film on him, and I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying like, cool. The Jazz have a pretty set rotation at, you know, nine guys already. You know, we added Pascal, and a lot of people are like, oh, we have these lines. But, like, guys, you're asking Quinn Snyder to have six different lineups.
We have,
what, 8 years of evidence of him using the same lineup just over and over again. So,
yeah, again, that's
we need year one Quinn back. Give us year one Quinn.
So that's what I'm saying is, you know, it'll be up to Quinn to do things because the way we're phrasing the whole structure of our conversation is telltale as to what the issue may be. And that is that we have to see is just this nine and that's it. And look what happened to Mike Conley. Can we really count on Mike Conley to always be healthy? Can we put the grind on him like that? Obviously Joe Ingles, the wheels fell off because he had nothing left.
You know, I
do give credence to the fact that he had to keep playing because we were chasing a one seed. So that could be part of the problem as we're saying this. And we've all criticized why are the guys in when you're up by 20 points with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter? Why aren't they? Right. So, I mean, the fact that we have to feel like it's just a top nine is maybe perhaps part of what needs to be tweaked on.
And I wonder if, like, because, like, you know, we've all played basketball before. Some of us have played, you know, more, you know, not professionally, but like in high school and stuff or whatever, on team comp teams and stuff. But, like, how momentum can. Like, you know, I think who was it when we had Sloan on here, and he was saying like he wanted Quinn to pull his starters quicker, like up by 20 with 6 minutes. I go, I can see why he doesn't though. Like maybe he puts in the scrubs, and all of a sudden that 20-point lead in 2 minutes goes down to, you know, 10, right? And all of a sudden the momentum's gone. You try to put your starters back in, and they can't stop the bleeding. I can see that, and maybe the depth wasn't as, you know, we thought the depth was Jarrell Brantley, Juwan Morgan, because we saw like flashes of them being good. And looking at that roster now, going, oh, well, Juwan is probably not going to be an NBA player, at least not for the Jazz. Jarrell Brantley is going to be cut probably within 2 weeks of the season. Trent Forrest is having a nice summer league. Like, it's cool, but we saw how limited he was.
And he's still just a two-way player. So
right. So, like, yeah, I mean, and maybe, you know, having the Pascal as your 10th or 11th guy, me only as your 10th, 11th guy. Maybe that does give Quinn more. We'll see. Like, if the Jazz go on another offensive, like, become another offensive juggernaut again and can get up big, maybe we'll see more of that because they have better depth than they did before. So,
yeah, I mean, that was one of the criticisms in the article that came out with the Dennis Quinn divide, which, you know, sorry, Tony. It did exist, true. Tony. I'm sorry. I still love me some Tony Parks, but yeah, it definitely existed.
You heard it first on the high notes.
But I mean, that's what he said, is he wanted at the end of his, that was one, I do remember that from what I read through anyways, when I read the article, that he wanted NBA quality players to fill out the end of the bench. So, you know, again, that's what we're doing. These guys have minutes.
Thomas. That's what they got Matt Thomas for.
I refuse to acknowledge whoever Matt Thomas is. Generic player number 7.
Exactly.
Number 4.
When the NBA can't, NBA game can't fill all the spots for the guy here, let's just throw him the player model in.
Hey, I'm Mark.
And this is Doug. What's up?
And we're co-hosts of a weekly podcast on the Utah Jazz called Twos and Threes. It's available on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever else you get podcasts on your feed every Monday morning.
Mark's my big brother, and you could say this podcast is a family affair, but really we think of the Jazz and Jazz Nation as our family. So we'd love for you to participate with us, to listen, and really, let's do this together. Go Jazz.
Go Jazz. Be our family. Boom.
Hi, I'm McCoy.
Hi, I'm Emily.
And we're the Jazzy Gals. If you're looking for in-depth Utah Jazz basketball analysis, this ain't it.
But if you are looking to discuss how great Rudy's beard looked this week, Jazz Twitter crushes, or other fun pop culture things, you have come to the right place.
That's right, and you can find us wherever you get your podcasts.
And also on Twitter at JazzyGalsPod. Go Jazz!
Go Jazz!
So, the Jazz also drafted, like, I don't, God, guys, like, we should have drafted, we should have potted after draft night, because my God, did the fucking Jazz Twitter burn down on draft night. Oh, yeah, my God. Gerard Butler's coming at 30. The Jazz are at 30. Oh, my God, they're going to get him. The Jazz trade out at 30. What the fuck are you doing, Jazz? Oh, my God, this is going to be so... Oh, the Jazz get Gerard Butler at 40 and two other picks. Oh, it was a great move. Justice Zanuck, you're the best guy ever. Here, let me suck your cock.
Zanuck, king of the universe.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing, the hindsight, the Zanuck that era was going on. And then and then after the fact, we learned that the Jazz had made the trade before they even knew he was going to be available down at 30. And so they're like, oh, crap. Yeah. Like, no.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah. No, yeah. They like lucked back into it. It was like,
I think Mark Stein tweeted out something like, I think it was Mark Stein.
The Stein line.
But
trust anyone who spells Mark with a C. I just don't trust it.
He spells it with a K, so he's good.
This does make sense, though, right? Because the Jazz, the story is the Jazz traded the Grizzlies around pick 23 because they didn't think Jared Butler was going to be there at 30. And then when Gerard Butler was there at 30, they're like, oh, fuck, we fucked up, you know?
Yeah. But,
you know, honestly, it makes sense.
Honestly, after I read that, I was like, "Oh, it's better to be lucky than good."
Yeah, like maybe, I don't know. I here's the thing: like, Gerard Butler is at four, again. He's number 40. If he does anything positive, if he looks like me on in year three, then in his rookie year, cool, right? But you know, there are some red flags there. You know, he's got some medical stuff. He's not playing summer league. I mean, I know it's just summer league, but those were a few extra weeks of like team stuff we could have got.
I totally get it.
We're all crowning him as...
I'm super pumped that we got Gerard Butler, though. Like, we got the fucking 300 guy.
you like that? This is Sparta. Gerard might be the back point guard. I don't know. He might be good enough, but I'm not sitting there going, oh my God, the Jazz have figured out their back point guard problems. Again, I'm not pining my hopes on a guy that the Jazz drafted at 40. Maybe the guy, there's a reason why he, like, either all the teams are stupid or there's other reasons why he dropped as far as he did, you know?
Right. No, so, you make a strong case.
Yeah. So maybe I'm setting my expectations super low, and if he passes him, great gravy, we're all in. And if he doesn't reach it, if he doesn't reach it, then he might need some work. So
I gotta go all in on him though. His first name's Jared, so I'm all good.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I'm calling Gerard.
What? It's not Gerard? What the?
Gerard. All right. So,
Gerard.
Speaking of Summer League, that's going on right now. And I was going to actually text you guys the picture of my Summer League badge. I was like, I got a nice little official badge.
I don't want to see it. I don't rub that shit down. I don't want to see
it. unfortunately, like, just the way like the Olympics were and like everything I did, like, I wasn't able to go to. Except for the third Salt Lake City game. That was the only one I was able to go to. And I could only go for like a half anyway. But I digress. Summer League has been... Have you guys been watching? Like, do you guys care about Summer League?
I mean, I care, but I haven't... my life has just been so crazy this week that I have not paid attention.
You have to go bury an iPhone. I mean, Logan, you and I talked about fond memories of Summer League, but there's something about watching it on TV just doesn't hit the same.
Yeah, I haven't watched it. I mean, most of that stuff is broadcast like on KJazz or something. I was reading, I think. I wouldn't get it. I can't watch the NBA this year anyways because, Ryan Smith let me down, but I don't watch it on TV. I'm just an old curmudgeon, I guess. I don't care about the draft. I don't care about Summer League. I mean, like I said, the one thing I always think about with Summer League is that at one point in time, Greg Ostertag dominated Tim Duncan in Summer League. And that's all I ever needed to hear. And that may not be a fair way to do it, but that happens. So therefore, when something like that happens, I no longer can give any credence to any that takes place now.
Honestly, I kind of feel the same way because Trae Young looked like garbage in Summer League. And so I was like, oh, he's not good. Now he's good.
I remember my buddy and I, Chris and I, we went and watched the Lopez brothers, like Brook and Robin Lopez, play in Summer League. Oh, nice. And I go, oh my God, those guys are so fucking slow. There's no way they're going to be good NBA players, and Brook Lopez is an NBA champion. So, like, all right, well, what the fuck do I know? So, Summer League, it's fun. Like, you see guys who are just like, you know, because this is like the reason people watch college, right? Because these guys are fighting for like jobs, or they're not playing for money, so it's going to be better. Like, these guys are fighting for jobs, and you would think it's better, but you know, I don't know. Trent Forrest looks good. I'll give you the recap. Trent Forrest looked good in Summer League. Jarrell Brantley's looked okay.
As a bookies look solid.
Yeah, big doc
blocking the heck out of everything. Yep.
Right. So, I think that translates to the regular season? Probably not. But it has people like going and looking at dope pick going, oh, well, you know, maybe it wasn't so bad after all, of all the things, you know.
Desmond Bane also looked fantastic in Summer League.
Yeah, that's it's not Azubuike the person. It's the fact that guy was going to be available in the second round too. So yeah. It's your guy Sloan has helped me figure that out. When I heard him say it, I'm like, it must be true because he's smart. he's always on it for the draft special. So
yeah, he is.
So that's right. You could honestly, and you could have had Azubuike. So you could have had the best of both worlds. So we can never justify that as being correct, like the right call.
Right. Well, I mean, unless Doak becomes like an all star and Bane doesn't, right? So
yeah,
I mean,
a little doubtful at this point.
It is. It looks pretty bad. But you know, again, there's a chance. So Doak has looked good enough, I think, that people are like talking to themselves into, well, maybe Whiteside's not the backup center, maybe Doak will be. But again, Whiteside's a minimum contract. If that's the case, and they think Doak's better for that, cool. We'll see. Doak's still got a lot of stuff to work on besides I think Andy Larson tweeted out something like, the guys in Summer League, since they don't have any like craftiness around the rim, they go straight up, and Doak's just so big and lengthy that they just can't get above him. But in the NBA, you know, you have to be.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. He's just so big, and there's nobody else that's even close to his size. That's kind of
he runs really hard, though. He tries super hard when he runs.
So I mean, and that's why Rudy is good at what he does at blocking shots, because like he's really good at anticipating stuff. So yeah, I can just, and that's stuff that you kind of learn throughout the years. Like he's like, oh, he's gonna, he might do this instead, or he might have a, you know, just stuff that you learn on the job, basically. So yeah, so you know, summer league, the Jazz are undefeated technically. So the Jazz JV team lost, but Jazz. The Jazz are probably going to sign a Teague. I don't know if he's related to Jeff Teague, but a Teague might get a two-way contract. And, yeah, like, I'm having a hard time remembering. So I'm going to go through this. Tell me if I miss anybody. Donovan, Mike, Bojan, Royce, Rudy, Joe, Clarkson, Whiteside, Rudy Gay, Brantley, Mieoni. That's 11. Butler is 12. The Jets should have like
Pascal.
Say thank you. 13. And I guess Darrell Bentley's 14 or whatever. So okay, I'm trying to figure like, I mean, then like the Jets. Oh,
did you already say Big Doc? I wasn't sure if you said Big Doc yet.
Oh, and the Big Doc.
That's right, though, because he counted Brantley twice, so we're still at the same number.
Okay, cool. So there we go. So yeah, all right, cool. So that's 15 then. So the theory I saw from like Ken and all you guys out there were like the Jazz would probably keep Brantley until like he's getting paid for like the first 8 games or something like that, and then they'll cut him, and then they'll keep that spot open for whatever happens. So Matt Thomas, welcome back to Utah Jazz. I mean, so like, I mean, guys, play GM real quick here. So I read also 14 again. So your back half is Pascal, Mione, Doc Doak. Is there like a Shaq Harrison, or is there something out there that you guys like, you don't have to give me a name, but like give me a prototype of it that you want in that like 11 to 15 range that like, oh shit, everything we need to like throw Shaq Harrison in here because these guys are fucking us up right now, you know?
I guess sorry, the prototype would be like who was that big defensive guard I had such a hard on for that was with the Knicks last year? What's his freaking name? Frankie Smokes. Yep. Somebody like and, him. That kind and, of archetype.
He's available. So like it's like because like again, not saying that Mike and Donovan are awful defenders, but they're also 6'1", and right. Like and a lot of point guards and point guards and shooting guards are getting closer to the 6'5", 6'6" range sometimes with these guys. So like I think even Dame is, I don't know. From what I hear, Dame's actually not 6'1", so that could probably be true. Like Dame is like what 6'1", second wet type thing, but he still gets it done. So you know that's impressive that if Dame is 5'11" and still doing what he's doing, that guy deserves to be ranked higher on some tiers. So, yeah. Anything else interesting happened with the Jazz guys that you guys want to talk about?
No.
Yeah, I mean, free agency. I spent talking about free agency because everybody seems to love this offseason. And truthfully, I think the Jazz had a very good offseason for the Jazz. Like, you know, you're not going to get Rudy Gay at a minimum. But you're going to get him with the taxpayer mid-level. That's just how the world works. You know, the Lakers will get him on a minimum, but not the Jazz. And that's it sucks, but it is the way it is.
Well, I'm not sure that that's necessarily the case because I'm hearing that. Or I read somewhere, somebody was saying, maybe it's that guy out of Orlando, was saying that the Jazz actually gave Rudy Gay a 3-year deal versus a 2-year deal. So I'm not sure that he was available for the minimum, like we all think.
And maybe not, but like I'm just saying, like in normal circumstances, normal years, every like this, you're going to see Lakers grab guys on the minimum. All the Jazz will have to usually spend a taxpayer's mid-level or mid-level exception. Maybe they start getting more Jeff Greens. I don't know.
I don't think that's Jazz exclusive, though. That's just the one exception pointing out is just the Lakers get that kind of treatment.
Yeah.
Maybe the Warriors sometimes, but even the Warriors.
It's like the 4 or 5 big markets get it, and the Jazz play by a different set of rules. And, you know, that, I guess that's what buzzed me out the most. It's like, yeah, it's good. It's fine. I can't give it an A because, you know,
they haven't traded Bojan yet.
I mean, again, I was team blow it up or team, you know, big changes, and the Jazz did not qualify for team big changes yet. So,
Yeah, dear God, watching Jazz Twitter, I hope that you know trading one piece like Bohan, if that's team blow it up, I just pray to God I'm not near or close to them, like when their toilet paper roll runs out or something, because that is not team blow it up. That is one fringe piece. And when you say, who do I want for my 15th player on the bench, I'm going to go with Harrison Barnes, because of the stupid stuff I've seen on Twitter, people, the way they talk about Harrison Barnes, you think he's that terrible. Anyway, yeah. That's a different rant for a different day.
The Adam Bushman trade came up, and people are...
Yeah, I saw it. People are idiots. If you really think that Harrison Barnes is that much worse than Bohan, you're an idiot.
It's not like I've ever said, I think Bojan, it's not even like the slump or anything. It's just like, I think Bojan's really good at a couple things. It's just
no, it's, for us, it's never been about him playing bad. That's the thing that's right. Different from our takes on everyone else's. It's not us saying, hey, the guy is terrible. The guy is not terrible. The guy is a good basketball player. The problem is he's just repetitive.
Right. Yes. Redundant is what we said,
and,
right?
And I earlier in the offseason, I was like, it's got to be him or JC, but really, I don't think so, because JC feels, again, comfort, you know, somehow we've managed to make him controversial too, but his role is very much like come in as the sixth man and just shoot, get some points. And I don't know that Bohan could fill that role either, though. So I think that Bohan's the guy by default, you know.
And when
comes out and stamps, Joe Ingles is sticking around, and I don't think Joe Ingles is going anywhere now. So,
which is I'm okay with it. I like Joe.
That's fine. Feel like half on Twitter is trying to trade Clarkson while his quote unquote value is high.
That'd be me. That's you.
You're half of Twitter. Hey.
No, well, that's my whole take. Is that like I want to trade these guys when their value is high. Like, do I think Clarkson's value can get higher than it is? Like, I think it's the best you can get. So you know, if you're selling a stock and you don't think the stock's gonna go any higher, that's when you sell. And I think that's my thinking with JC is that
I'm a lot more wary of what JC's role is to be filled by somebody else. Though that's the part that makes me. Guess who else's ceiling is high right now too? Donovan's. His value is very high.
His value is very high.
Well, yeah, I'm not trading this. So while the value is high.
But again, this comes up to like, do I think JC's value can get higher? Not so much. Do I think Donovan's value can get higher? I do think. I think so. That's the thing is that, it's the valuation of like. Where do we think these guys, like, you want to sell at their high price point versus, like, last year when everybody's like, oh, Mike's, trade Mike, guys, you can't trade Mike Conley because his value is way low. Like, there's no point, right? Last year again, was like, the person that you should trade is Bojan because came off such a great year that you could probably get back a lot of value for him. So that's where my trading philosophy comes in. And it's a fantasy football mindset, I'll admit it. Like, you know, if a guy runs for 300 yards in a game, I'm probably going to put him on the trade block and see who's going to give me what for him, you know? And that's where my mindset comes from, is fantasy football. Like, do you want to trade your guys when you think they're at their highest point, you know? So
I guess my question would be then, like, would you feel that, like, the move that the Jazz should make or consider making would be, like, combine somebody – two guys that have positive value, so say like you take Mike and Bojan at the trade deadline, try to trade those guys, put those two guys in for an upgrade somewhere. You need like a bigger guard or something.
I mean, again, it's like, oh boy, who's if
I'm trying to think who would be available. I honestly have no idea.
If Bradley Beal was available for Mike Conley and Bojan, I would probably think about that a lot, right? Like, gotcha. Like, oh yeah. Bradley Beal is a you know, I want to say he's a tall shooting guard. Then you have Donovan as your point.
Then you have Donovan as your de facto. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but it would have to be, I mean, if you're, because like, again, you know, we're talking about
It'd have to be a clear upgrade, right?
A $40 million contract, and somebody that's worth it, right? So that's along the lines of where I would go there. So.
Makes sense.
That's what I would do in fantasy basketball, fantasy football, and real NBA basketball. I don't know. We have to like worry about, you know, contracts and everything. It's I don't know. It's a weird way of thinking, I guess. But yes, look, if somebody offered, who's the young 3D guy you guys like?
I don't know what that means.
There you go,
Desmond Payne. I don't know. How do you feel about Matisse Thybulle?
I don't know what those words mean.
How about you? Or
Matisse Thybulle? Well, I wouldn't call him a 3-and-D guy. I'd call him just a D guy.
Okay. All right. So how about a Dylan Brooks that could hit a 3 consistently?
Yeah, Dylan Brooks would be an interesting prospect.
Okay. So, like, here's the thing. If the Grizzlies call him, like, hey, we'll give you Dylan Brooks straight up for Joe Ingles, that would make me go, You know?
I can see
that working for the
finalize draft. That trade.
Like, and that's the thing is that, like, as much as I like Joe Ingles, like, if I mean, and maybe it's not Dylan Brooks, maybe it's somebody more likable, but it's like a clear, you know, great defender and also hits the 3 at a great rate. Whoever that guy is, and they offer it to the Jazz and they want Joe Ingles, like, you know, does that guy make you better to win a championship? I get it. Like, it sucks. It would hurt. I never really believed the Joe Ingles rumors anyway, because like, none of it ever made any sense. And so I never really like processed like, oh, they might trade Joe Ingles. But I can imagine it, you know, be like Jared when Derek Favors left, you know, got traded. I was like, oh, okay, you know, I can see that pain of losing one of your favorite players. But man, if you got a clear upgrade, like if you got somebody who, you know, makes you contender, you know, if you get prime Ron Artest, you know, like, all right, okay, yeah, like I see why they did it. And if all of a sudden, you know, the Jazz go from being, you know, a fringe contender to the clear favorite in the West, that's a move that you might have to do. And that's how I treat, you know, if somebody offered LeBron James and Anthony Davis for Donovan Mitchell and whatever else, I'd probably say yes to that. You know, like, yeah. I love Donovan, but if Anthony Davis and LeBron James are going to clearly make the Jazz a championship contender, I can see that, you know. And if Mark's listening, Mark's going to hate this part. So Mark, I shouldn't have told you not to listen here. So,
Yeah, go on. And to take it a step further, if you want to, when the ESPN 30 for 30 comes out to document what led to the downfall and the end of the best Jazz pod co-op, the best Jazz podcast in the world, started to spiral out of control, it'll be the minute mark when who hypothetically suggested Dylan Brooks for Joe Ingles. I mean, you've said some shit to get people upset before, but that's as close to a racial slur as we'll allow on this particular podcast. If I'm the one stepping in saying you've gone too far, that you've gone too far.
Mark's like polishing again. I know this one. I like to be like, hey, you know, there's a clear 3. Like, there's a clear guy that next year is just like, that's the guy that puts you over the top. And like, yeah, like, you know, I can see trading one of these guys. You know, it probably never happens. But again, like, you know, like I can be happy. And maybe it's because like I saw what happened with the Malone Stockton years, and see what happens when, you know, teams waited too long. Or
yeah,
wasn't Malone Stockton? It's more of a Millsap Jefferson, I think. When the Jazz didn't trade Millsap and Jefferson,
And they kept them both and then didn't re-sign them. Yeah,
that would hurt. So
that was painful. Yeah.
Oh boy, man.
We need these T-shirts that say, you know, I lived through the Jefferson and Millsap years, and all I have to show for it is this Dante Exum shirt.
Dante Exum, you know, maybe he'll be back. Who knows? he might be a free agent. I don't know. So Exum either.
I'm pretty sure he is still a free agent. He's just floating out there on the island by himself.
I mean, after that Australian bronze medal run, he's still out there. That's crazy.
Third place.
Well, he did look like he hurt himself. Like he was like pulled from one of the games, like the game against the U.S. I want to say. Yeah, because I was watching that. Looked like he hurt himself, but he went back in and played again. So, I mean, later, but it took a while. Everybody saw him fall. that's actually exactly what the person I said that I was with watching that game said. Oh, they lost because X hurt himself.
I can't remember what I was gonna say. I lost it. Yeah,
speaks for itself. No further explanation needed.
Right. So, well, I think after Summer League is ended, if the Jazz might play in the Summer League Championship game, we'll see. God,
I hope so.
If that means anything, raise the fucking banner, guys. I really hope so.
Yeah, we're putting that banner everywhere.
I'm
buying a replica banner. I'm gonna be pissed.
2021, 2022, I'm a summer league champ. Raise that fucking banner right next to Garth Brooks and Taylor.
Don't forget Frank.
Frank.
And Larry put his own number up there, for Christ's sake. That's a ballsy move.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, still hilarious that Garth Brooks banner actually hung up there.
Yeah.
I think they eventually took it down, but
they needed to hang something up there for forever. So you know they figured it out. You know,
did they put the horse one up there yet, or is that still
the horse one?
Progress. The Mike Conley's horse championship, is that up there?
Oh, we need it. Oh my god.
You better carry that fucking trophy around with
us. We're gonna have to commission DJ to make one.
Didn't someone, we got like second place in the 3-point shootout this year too, right? Like, is that's a silver medal, yep. So we should definitely recognize that. I thank God the Olympics are over. That's all I'm gonna say.
Damn,
I watched 0 minutes of it. Zero. I'm gonna get canceled. I just gotta shut up. Fighting my tongue.
I probably would have watched some events. I watched a lot more events because I mean I was working them and kind of had to, but. There are a few events I do like. I'm a huge gymnastics fan now, so you know I watch those. I'm like, yeah, stay up at 3 a.m. to watch Michaela Skinner do a vault.
I missed out on the 3 a.m. I thought it was like 4 a.m.
That's fair. You're allowed to do that because you were hyping it up all year long on Sunday afternoons when no one else gave a shit. So you're yeah, allowed.
Right. Red Rocks, baby.
And that's like that's like a good way to spend a Saturday night, apparently.
Yeah, you know, it'll be weird because, like, I mean, assuming that Delta Center COVID doesn't kill everybody, I would like to see what a full Red Rock Stadium looks like. So last year was very weird.
That's freaking hilarious. So, Delta Center COVID.
Yeah, that's some, you know, in Utah, that's what we call it. That's what they call it.
That's amazing. I love it. Yeah, I've heard the Red Rocks, they sell out more than the basketball team. So you're in for a treat.
Yeah.
Rick Majerus rolling over in his grave right now.
Keith Van Horn rolling over his grave
right now. Shouldn't have been. Yeah.
Hanno Matala rolling over his grave right now. Alex Jensen rolling over his grave right now.
I just said Alex next. Damn it.
Brady Johnson rolling over his grave right now.
Andrew Bogut rolling around his grave.
That's like 98 was like. 98 was the sweet spot for the Utes and Logan there.
Yeah, fuck Scott Padgett. Never forget, guys.
Did you?
I can't believe Scott Padgett played for the Jazz.
Yeah, I've been saying it forever. Scott Padgett been ruining Utah fans' lives for a long time.
Oh yeah,
as a Wildcat and as a Jazz
member.
Such a troll.
God, why
is he trolling us from within the stadium?
Strong Matt Harpering vibe. If Adam Keefe and Matt Harpering had dirty little warts on their elbows and they rubbed their dirty little warts together, Scott Padgett is what happens. It's like
this is incredible. I'm going to see if Scott Padgett has a Twitter account.
Oh man, I didn't know how to outro. And I was just like, let's keep talking. Something will, and you know, Adam Keefe and Matt Halpern's dirty little warts turning to Scott Padgett with the outro. I was like, yep, that's it.
Yeah,
that's what we're using. That might be the lead into the podcast, so people are gonna hear who you say the worst thing. And then the Jazz high note music is gonna hit, and they're like, what the fuck just happened? You know, and they don't like, I'll let it sit there for a minute. And people are like, what the hell? What is this podcast going to be about?
And so. then drop the Jazz Gals commercial, so they all get back on board.
I'm McCoy, and I'm Emily.
And we're the Jazz Gals.
Who is this? Is this still part that you're going to use as the podcast, or
I haven't. Did you hear me say that's it yet? No, I haven't. I haven't outro yet. We've just been rambling for like 15 minutes. So
yeah,
nice. Nice.
Yep. It'll give me. I have to save my podcast now. I'm gonna listen to this tomorrow while I'm, or hopefully, have it edited and shot and put it up tomorrow before I go to football game, because I really hate listening to parents and high school kids cheer for football teams. Like, the action's fine, but guys, like, you guys are being fucking ridiculous over these football games. Utah high school football games, like, they matter so little. 90% of your kids are going to go on to be, like, insurance salesmen or the tourist salesmen or real estate people. Like, this high school game is not going to fucking matter for their real life, folks. So you guys are going to sit here and scream and degrade the other team and the referees. You guys are fucking morons.
Honestly, so I couldn't agree with
more with what you said there. We hate parents and prep sports, and we hate the Olympics.
Yeah. I love you guys so much.
We're making very uncomfortable, like, merger into the.
The four letter, the season four, the season of four letter words. Yes.
Yes.
I love you bringing the rage today, man. That was awesome. It was just amazing.
I've had a lot of off season, and the thing is, I actually like the off season. I wonder who the Jazz first choice for backup center was that they missed out on.
Me too. Honestly, because it couldn't have been Whiteside.
And I really don't care. Like, if Whiteside sucks or whatever, again, you know, as Logan says, it's the lowest amount of money you can pay somebody. Like, right. Again, like, it's not like the Jazz have had great backup centers in the past 2 years. So they were the number one seed last year with play. So,
yeah.
Again, like, you know, anytime, I think Josh said this, anytime Rudy's not on the floor, the Jazz are worse anyway. So maybe this will be Rudy Gobert playing more than 30 minutes a game. Who knows?
That'd be an interesting adjustment.
I hope that Rudy can handle it, because, I mean, that's a lot of minutes, you know.
It is.
So, I mean, I really hope that Doak and or Whiteside and or Pascal and or whoever they play at the backup five.
Oh, by the way. Radio.
That's stuff that, like, we're not part of. We're not involved with, so I don't want to, like, that's
no. I'm telling you.
Trade rumors?
Yeah, no, I'm telling you this.
I said, I did not. We're still going.
Well, hey, you said so much stuff since then that I don't know what to believe anymore.
No. I was like, you literally asked me if we were.
Sorry to make you edit that out. I will edit that out for you if you want.
Oh, man. But that's what I'm saying.
God damn it, Jared.
And people are going to be like, what, they edited out? Oh, my God. It was something. It's not our business. All right.
In some weird way, that might be good. They're going to get some hot gossip dropped on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. And fantasy football. You guys are going to be running the fantasy football again, so that's cool.
I have no idea what's going on, because, like, I thought, because I don't even know. I'm down to run it, or McCade can run it. Either way, it's fine.
Preseason football starts tonight. I'm like, oh fuck, preseason football. God damn it. I see football. I'm like, well, my life just got so much harder because of work. And I'm like, well, fuck. But yeah, whatever. But we'll get that set up if you want to play fantasy football with Logan and Jared and other Jazz fans that listen to the pod co-op. We're going to have that again. There are no prizes because we're poor. You can have pride. All right, Jared.
Ooh, I should invite Tejo to play. I don't know if he's...
Is there anything in the Pascal pouch you want to reach into?
Well, I think Donovan's got some stuff stored in there, so I'm not sure.
It's more of a Donovan wraparound situation. I'm sure.
Did you know that they played AAU ball together? That probably
did you know that they've been best friends forever?
I hate the fact that I tweeted that out being a smartass, and it's like the best traction I've got on Twitter in a long time. Like, it's just, dude, I've got some bangers out there, and they just get left on the floor, and I say something stupid, and everyone just... It's just
you say something that you don't want anybody to love, and they're all like, "Oh, he's right."
You didn't know that? Oh my god! Did you know this? I'm like, oh, really?
Did you know that Matt Harpring played football?
Yeah. at least some people caught on to that and were making making fun of it. But it's the other, like the amount of likes and the transaction you get, traction you get from unknowns is really fantastic.
My current banger tweet from my personal account at Who Trusts Superman was about Ryan Smith, and it was literally a joke I made a week earlier about somebody else. But I did the Night of the Roxbury joke about Ryan Smith. And people loved that one. I was like, oh, well, okay. Easy audience, I guess. But I did see him just walking out and about. I'm like, oh, shit, Ryan Smith is just walking here in the concourse.
It was an Emilio situation. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. I swear, guys, Mr. Qualtrics himself, I was like, Ryan! That was the exact tweet. And people were like, oh, my God. I was like, wow. You guys really love that one. I'm like, all right, cool. It wasn't as good as Jared's Chick-fil-A tweet. But what is really, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, that tweet, I caught lightning in a bottle with that tweet. I don't know what happened.
You better bring it back for when Gamma variant hits some, and half our population is dead. I'm just kidding. I don't believe in mass or vaccines, so.
We need the Hulk version of the COVID, man. That's what you're saying.
All right, well, I'm Logan. You can have the last word.
Yeah, I told everyone on Twitter they can go to hell a couple of weeks ago, and that was, I'm still not sure if that was the right call or not. I'm leaning towards yes still, but I do have a pretty good tweet here to read out from the Tyrosaurus. He, in response to my tweet, so I'm going to shout myself out, I said, a wiener is a tail on the front that you can pee out of, which is kind of genius, if you ask me. But he tweeted back a picture of me that said, he, kudos to him. When two people kiss, they create a long tube from butthole to butthole. Nothing to do with jazz at all, but I just want you to think about it. And really, you know, jazz related, we need to start the movement. We don't need mountain mic. We need motherfucker mic. This year, so let's see if we can get
there. You go, motherfucking Mike. Go get those technical fouls. This is a super long episode. We're probably at an hour and like 10-ish right now, and I apologize, folks, that for our super long episode, you just listened to us ramble about just bullshit for 20 minutes. So
I've never apologized for being too. You know what? Who never apologized for being too long? You know,
has never had that problem in my life. All right, that's it. We'll see you guys next time. And now we're done.
That was amazing.
Just drop the gossip in the middle of it.